Good morning. Such a beautiful day, and I'm so pleased we have the cooler weather, and it looks like fall is finally here. Today is All Saints Sunday, and we remember and celebrate all those who have lived and died in faith. People who, in response to God's goodness, gave of themselves, demonstrating sacrificial love and service to others. Today, we remember our friends and families, our own dearly departed, who have gone to be with God and continue to cheer us on as we run this marathon called life. Who comes to mind when you think of a saint? I think about Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who went out to the poorest places in India and cared for the sick, nursing them back to spiritual and physical health. She often risked her own life as she traveled through India with her rosary in one hand, food and water in the other hand, to care for the unloved and the unwanted. I also think about the courage of St. Peter Claver, who was a Spanish missionary who dedicated his life to caring for the human cargo who survived the Middle Passage. As they waited on the docked slave ships to be sold, he provided them with food and with water, and importantly, he treated them with dignity, and he assured them that God loved them too. I also remember my great aunt Catherine. She came to stay with my grandparents for 2 weeks, and that turned into 12 years. And one thing about her is she was always reading her Bible. Matter of fact, she never left the house without a Bible. So she had several, many different sizes, many different translations. But she never, ever raised her voice, used an unkind word, or a curse word either for that matter. I think that we all know people like my great aunt. We can all think of at least a few people, past and present, who are our faith heroes, who lived out the gospel in their lives, doing miraculous deeds, often risking their own safety. We should celebrate their lives and let their existence inspire us and motivate us to care for each other and to care for those who live in poverty, hunger, and sadness. But we have to remember that today is All Saints Day, not some Saints Day. We all are the saints. The Apostle Paul use the term saint to indicate all of the faithful who gather together to worship God. Saints are everyday, ordinary human beings, imperfect people like me and like you, sinners who have been revised, repentive through their baptism, and called to serve Christ by serving others and by serving God. We are the saints of God in the present tense. And you can find us everywhere. Just a few moments ago in our sequence hymn, we sung with great enthusiasm, "You can meet them in school, or in lanes, or at sea, or in church, or in trains, or in shops, or at tea. For the saints of God are folk just like me." It's reassuring, and it's somewhat comforting to know that by believing in Jesus Christ and calling upon his name, we are made holy by his grace and we are sanctified. We are saints. I must admit that in preparation, I wrestled with our gospel that was appointed for today. It's not particularly celebratory, nor is it comforting to many people. we find that Jesus has come down from the mountain to teach a huge group of people from diverse backgrounds, the rich, the poor, the newly appointed apostles, a larger group of disciples, Jews who were revered as holy, Gentiles who were still a bit suspicious in the minds of some people. In the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus calls into question conventional norms. He begins teaching the multitudes, addressing controversial societal issues of that day. Poverty, hunger, prejudice, the issues that stirred up emotions in those days and continue to do so. He starts out by saying, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." And he continues, "Blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who weep." I'm not sure if that went over very well. I can just imagine the conversation as he was speaking. What does this guy mean? I'm not poor, but I help the poor, and I pray for the poor. Where's my blessing? I think it was a good way to get the crowd's attention, but perhaps not the best way to gain supporters and followers. And then he goes on, "Woe to the rich, woe to those who are full, woe to those who are laughing." Woe is a word of judgment, a word used to warn people that doom is impending. Rich, be warned, you have already received your comforts on earth. Don't expect anything more. I wonder if they ask themselves, why do I have to suffer because of my wealth? Even today, we squirm reading these verses because they imply that the poor will be rewarded just because they have lived in poverty, and the rich will suffer because they have enjoyed financial abundance. How is that fair? I don't think that Jesus intended to be exclusive. He never says that the rich will not receive any blessings, but he does remind them of the blessings that they have received and warns them that their wealth, money, and status do not entitle them to God's favor or any special privileges. And at the same time, he assures the poor that they are all right with God, that God's favor is for them. His grace and his mercy belong to them as well. I think that Jesus is reminding us that the kingdom of God is inclusive. It's meant for everyone, for the rich, for the poor, for the hungry, for the full, for those that we despise, and for those that we love. This theory of inclusiveness can be tough for us to buy into wholeheartedly because we live in a culture that greatly values clubs and memberships and the privileges gained by being included in these clubs and by having these memberships. Sam's Club, Costco, you have privileges. And if you remember, there was an old American Express commercial, and card members were allowed to go to the front of the line or sit in better seats on the airplane. They were rewarded for being members. Membership has its privileges. So the idea that clout, material wealth, good credit won't buy us a special seat at God's table or fast track us to sainthood may be troubling. The Beatitudes with their commands: love your enemy. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek, are countercultural. They push us a bit out of our comfort zone and towards a deeper love of God and neighbor. These blessings and woes move us beyond acting on our responsibility to serve the marginalized, to care for those who suffer. They challenge us, you and I, the saints, to explore our thoughts and our assumptions about the poor, about the least of these, and the measure of God's blessings that they should receive. The Beatitudes confront the idea that God rewards faithful, good, hardworking people with material prosperity. They call into question the prosperity gospel that says if you're not prospering financially, it must have something to do with your faith, with how you live, with how much you're praying, with your work ethic. The saints are not perfect. We are not perfect. We're not the sin-free group of God's children who get a special place in God's kingdom. Saints are people who, in response to God's love, respond in love to all of God's children. Our lives as saints are sometimes complicated. We struggle and we stray away from God. And sometimes we even have doubts. Even Mother Teresa had her doubts. After she passed away, it was revealed that there was a time in her life when she did not feel God's presence, when she questioned the mere existence of God. But despite this place that she found herself in, she continued to proclaim the good news. She had a remarkable resolve to follow Jesus, and we too, the saints of today, must pray without ceasing for this same resolve. When I was in grade school, back in the olden days, we walked to school every day, and I loved music class, which is actually unusual because I don't play an instrument and I don't sing well, at least. And I still remember my music teacher, Mrs. Mack, and she was happy all of the time. It was pretty incredible. She was very enthusiastic. But she got especially excited when we sang "When the Saints Go Marching In." She would let us pull out all the instruments, the tambourines. She pounded on a piano really hard, and she encouraged us to sing in our outside voices. In fact, she called me out one day and said, "Kenya, I heard you on the playground. I know you can sing louder than that." So we would sing loud, and on a number of occasions, people would come in the room, the principal or any teachers that were off duty, and they would join us. "Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in." We are all in that number. We are all the saints. Let us go forward. Let us continue to march, inspired by all the present day saints and inspired by all the saints that came before us. Amen.